Welcome to the Love Your Launch podcast. I'm Tasha.
I'm Jayla Ray.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Brianna.
And I'm Kara.
And by our powers combined, we are the Launch Guild. And you guessed it, we love launches.
But we know that not everyone is walking into their launches with a team of experts in their back pocket, and that can make launching
and all of the tech, marketing, strategy, and management of it feel a wee bit overwhelming.
So that's why we started this podcast, because our goal is to make you fall in love with launching, or at least not absolutely hate it.
We know that launches don't have to be awful or overwhelming. They can actually be fun and, dare we say, stress-free. And we know this to be true because over the last 4 years, we've helped our clients amass almost $10 million in launch revenue and do it with style and grace.
So if you're ready to fall in love with launching, or at least not hate it, then welcome to the Love Your Launch podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Love Your Launch podcast. I am joined by Kara and Brianna today, and we are going to talk about the number one thing you need for a successful launch. So let's dive into it. So excited.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I think this is a topic we talk about so much with our clients. Like Brianna, you probably do on the discovery calls with people. And when they first come in, it is something that I think a lot of people maybe miss, or they don't think it's super important. Who wants to reveal the number one thing?
I'll let you go. Got
this. We are all so excited to reveal it. Okay. The number one thing you need for a successful launch is a nurtured and engaged audience. The number one thing is not sales. The number one thing is not social media. Like, the number one thing is not any one thing except for a nurtured and engaged audience. So let's get into the details of all of that.
All right. And we want to kick this off with first what nobody is telling you about this. So really the first thing is, if you want to start an online business, let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to, if you want to start an online business, there is sort of this ideology, I think, that comes up that you can get started quick. It doesn't take a lot of money, but what it does take is time, energy, and commitment. And that's something that we really try to instill in our clients, that really building an online business, building a community, building something that can generate a lot of money for you is something you have to show up for over and over again. It's not something where you can just put out your course to the world, create something, now it's online, now the people are going to buy it. No, there are other components involved that you have to show up for and give people a reason to follow you, to learn from you, and to buy from you.
Yeah, I think you hear a lot of people talking about the passive income stream. It's like, be making money while you sleep. And all of that sounds really awesome. And there's a lot of people that are able to do that. Like, they're able to achieve that. However, they had to have something proven first. Like, they had to have some sort of product, and not just a product, but a, what's the word I'm looking for? Just an appearance or a presence.
One of the things I put into our notes for today is that passive income is only a result of previous active work. So passive income does not just happen. It does not just come to be and suddenly you create something really quickly, just put it all in a box and then you have passive income. No, there is a lot of active work that comes first or simultaneously as the passive income. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to try to get across today.
I think it's important to remember with passive income too, that even established online businesses can struggle with making passive income. There has to be a literal and intentional strategy behind it. You can't just expect that people are going to find your product and buy, like, five people are going to buy per month. There has to be a channel toward that product still, and it has to be really intentional. So we at the Launch Guild like to get really preachy about the passive income topic because we think it's really important. We don't want anyone to come through our doors expecting that they're going to launch a product one time and then immediately go to evergreen. There are some people out there who are preaching that that is a thing that is possible. And it's true. Some people can do that. But for most of the clients that we see, they are baby businesses. They are people just getting started, just getting going, just building that consistency. And so they're probably not in a position to successfully turn a product onto Evergreen right away and make that passive income.
That's so true. And so one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is what it looks like to, you know, build a nurtured and engaged audience, you know, but to really kick that off, you have to think about how you're going to be showing up on a regular basis. And if you're building a personal brand, which many of our clients are, some of them can come to us and say they want to create a course because they don't have enough time or because they feel too strapped. But what people are forgetting is that in order to sell a course, you do need to be doing things like showing your face on social media. Usually this looks like recording videos, showing up live. Reels and TikTok are huge right now in the 2022. So that's, you know, one of the most time consuming pieces of content is the hottest piece of content right now. But that's going to be key to growing your reach. And it's the first step in having people buy from you. So you're not even at the buying step. You're at the, you know, get the audience in front of you step that always needs to happen, whether you've been a business owner for a long time or you're just getting started. You'll always need new people to see you or returning customers to see you. They need to know that you're out there and what you have available just as much.
Yes. Don't fall into the false belief that if you build it, they will come. Because I promise you, my friends, and this is like one of the things we want to avoid at all costs and keep our clients from doing, is building this thing and putting so much time and effort into it. And then no one buys it. And it's not because your product isn't good. It's not because your sales page isn't great. It's because you don't have enough people even that trust you to want to take that step to click buy. It's that know, like, and trust factor. And that's the importance of engaging and nurturing your list to grow that know, like, and trust factor.
Yes, so true.
Word. Okay. Should we move on?
Yes.
Like, what does all of this mean? Like, let's get into some of the numbers behind what we've been talking about.
Yes. Let's dive into the metrics. So I'll start with the first one. So even though it's really ironic, we're talking all about social media first. So that's great. You really want to have people on social media. But one of the biggest metrics we're looking at is actually related to email. So the list is where it's at. We'll say that over and over again. You guys can't see because you are listening, but Jayla Ray is dancing to this phrase.
The list is where it's at. Yeah, there's a whole shoulder movement to it. I just made it up, but we'll do that every time now.
Yes.
Got a real groove to it. I'm digging it.
So, okay, for email lists, you're looking at open rates. So you're going to want to go for a 20% open rate. Obviously, we want you to be emailing your list regularly. So this is an average over an amount of time, but that 20% of your emails are being opened by your list each time you send one. And if you have something to click to, you may not always, but that is a 2% click-through rate or more. So 2 to 4 is typically what we see when we're sending out regular emails. And so that's what you want to go for.
Yeah. And these metrics are what you're striving for when you know you're on the right track. So if you're seeing like your open rates or your click rates are far below that and you're not getting that traction, then you might want to be focusing on getting those better before you do launch. Like, that's the point of these metrics, is to know that you're on the right track. So when you do launch, you're going to get the most out of it as possible. One thing with your list normally to keep in mind, we're not a huge proponent of like, it's not about how many people you have on your list. Like, yes, that's important, because typically we will see 1 to 2% of your full list size convert into sales. But it's also the quality of the people on your list. So you could have 2,000 followers, but if they're not nurtured, then you're not going to get much out of it. Then you're not going to hit that conversion size. And so you're really wanting to strive for those open rates, those click rates. So that way you do get the 1 to 2% conversion out of your list. That's the importance of nurturing.
So when it comes to social media engagement, and you're also taking into account what's happening with your list and the engagement over on the list, when both of those are feeling like they are in a really good place, it might be time to launch. It might be time to consider launching. It's possible that that social media engagement wasn't for selling or anything like that. It was just to keep your audience interested in what it is that you're doing. I don't know, you're doing behind the scenes content, or you're providing informational, educational content. People are really vibing with it. They're really giving you that response. response and that feedback, those are good indicators that you're on the right track and that you're actually clicking with your audience and something is resonating with them. So there are lots of like metrics and insights that go into the social media portion. And also, I just want to say that some of it doesn't have to do with numbers. Sometimes someone saying, I really liked this is great. And listen to that. When people are telling you that they really like something that you've created, it means that you are nurturing the right kind of audience to buy from you. So those are things to keep in mind when it comes to social media.
Yeah. And we don't necessarily have numbers for social media the way we do with email lists, like so conversion rates or things like that. But with social media, just be tracking like how things are going. What was your engagement or your reach on a certain post? Did it perform well? If you do a similar one, are we seeing an increase? So I think that's really the goal, is just to constantly see an increase of your engagement, of your reach, rather than seeing, I need this amount of likes or I need this amount of shares. That's not the point. With social media, just try and always find ways to improve and see that people are really connecting this, just like how Jayla Ray said, that people are really connecting to the content that you're putting out there.
Yes, you just want to be paying attention. You want to be looking at, okay, I did a certain story about a certain thing and I got several DM responses. That's an indicator. Okay, this is something my audience is interested in and I should do more of. Or look at certain posts and see which one's got the most saves, for example, because Instagram loves when people are saving your content because they want to revisit it later. And so you'll notice that all of these things that we're talking about, email open rates, conversion rates, social media engagement, all of these metrics are impossible to measure without an audience to actually fill these metrics. So if you're in a place where you're thinking, I want to launch something, and you have really high goals, but you're not even, you know, measuring your audience metrics yet because you don't have one, then you may not be ready. You may need to take some time to actually have a group of people that you can launch that product to. So that's one other indicator to look for.
All good stuff. Let's talk about the tangibles. So like, what does this mean? What does it mean to like, to hit those? How do you hit those metrics and how do you achieve that? Who are we turning it over to start that conversation?
So are we starting with the don'ts? Is that what we're starting?
Let's start with the don'ts.
Tell me what we're doing, Jayla Ray.
Yeah, we're going to start with the don'ts. We've divided this into like a do's and don'ts list so that you can hear this and take this feedback in as simply as possible. And I just want to remind anyone who's listening, we have seen it all. We've seen people repeatedly follow the same pattern that they should probably break in a launch. And we've seen a ton of success as well. So these are just a little bit of a synthesized list of things that we've noticed. And under the context of building a nurtured and engaged audience, these do's and don'ts are incredibly important. So Brianna, take it away.
We'll start with a couple of things as far as what it looks like when you're not nurturing your audience. So number one, you haven't emailed your list. Whether you have 20 people on that list, 100, 300, 10,000, if you have not emailed them, you know, weekly, maybe even a couple times a month on a regular basis, that list kind of doesn't count. You can't really put weight on an email list size if you haven't been talking to them, because essentially they're not even a list if you're not using it. It can't only be a list when you've got something to launch or when you've got something to sell. We really want you to be thinking more about it as a community that you are there to serve, both through your free and paid products. So that's how we want you to look at it.
That's so good, Brianna. That's so good. What you said about it being a community and not just people on your list, not just numbers, like actually connecting with them and sending them not just emails of what you have to sell or what you have to offer, but giving them value. That was the one point I wanted to add, is your content actually valuable? Like the stuff that you're emailing them, are you sending them tips? Are you sending them things that they should consider so they can achieve small wins? Are you helping them gain momentum in their journey of where you ultimately want to help them them reach in the long run, whether it's through your course or your membership or program, starting to give them that momentum and that hope that they can achieve those things. And that's where there's value in not just your emails, but your social media content. People want actually valuable stuff. And you can't worry about, am I giving away too much? Because you're probably not. I think people really will still want that more in-depth context and more one-on-one attention with you through your programs, through your courses. So if you're giving them just information through these things that's helpful to them, I promise you're not giving away too much. Make it value-packed for sure.
I think part of that too is that there's a difference between giving away information and context about a topic and then giving a step-by-step process to uncover a specific result or transformation. So if you want to think about separating those two things, giving the information, the educational value, and the context of that thing is free content. And then the actual like step-by-step process on how to get them a transformation can be reserved for your product, for your courses, for your one-on-one coaching, et cetera. So if you want to think about it that way, that might help. I've heard a lot of people get really confused, just like Kara said, like, am I giving away too much for free? How do I know what that boundary is? How do I know if I'm not giving enough away for free? So that's something to kind of help to put those things in categories. And if you're that person who is giving away a step-by-step process for free, that's not necessarily bad. That is probably building that trust factor with your audience as well. It just depends on how you want to scale with your courses and with your programs and where you see the transformation of your products actually coming through to your audience too. So just something to keep in mind. And I think we've already kind of said this, but that top line number, the number of followers you have, the number, like the size of your email list, doesn't mean anything if those people aren't nurtured and engaged with you. It's really important to keep that in mind. And Brianna, maybe you can talk about when we have people come through our doors and they say they have a list of like 2,000 people, which is a substantial list size. But then the next question comes, well, when was the last time you emailed your list? And their response is, oh, 3 months ago. Well, then yeah. that 2000 size of a list is, it's not that it's invalidated. It's just those people are not warmed up. They're not engaged with you. They haven't heard from you for a while. You're also getting into that territory where some people, if they were newer, might forget that they were on your list to begin with. So then when you email them again, it's like a shock that you're inside of their inbox. So not focusing so much on that top line number, but getting into the nitty gritty below that. You want to get kind of like below the tip of the iceberg, I guess, is a way to think about that. Brianna, you're really good with analogies. What kind of visual would you bring to this?
I will definitely take the iceberg analogy. If an analogy comes to me, I will share it. But I love what you said. I think that's so important. It's not just about the number. It's about, does that number really reflect what's happening in my business, reflect how I'm reaching out to people? And the one other thing that I wanted to notice, just going back to what you all said about free content versus paid content, is it all too much? We love providing value, just like with this podcast, with the emails we send out, the social, all of that. We do it in a lot of different channels. You don't have to do it in all the channels unless you want to, but you just want to show up and be helpful. How can you help people in the medium that you like to help people? And remembering that the difference also is the people who are paying you and in your paid experiences, they're likely at a different stage or having a different experience than the people who are in your free content. Because the people in your free content are thinking about doing the thing. Ideally, the people in your paid content are doing the thing, and you will have to serve those people differently. So that should help you too. Thinking about we talk about this in our program. Step zero is where we're assisting our people in our free content. Step 1, 2, 3, 10 is where we're assisting people in our paid content.
This is why I love working with a team, because some of the things like that I just can't vocalize or say And that's like, that's why I love this podcast so much, is because we can all use each other and just bring such valuable stuff to the table of different perspectives. Just had to throw that in there because I love that.
We fill in the gaps of each other's points. Yes, we do that very, very well. And I think it's important to say that, Kara, because we are all on the same page when it comes to these kinds of conversations. We bring different perspectives, and sometimes we have a slightly different angle on thinking about something, but our belief system about what it means to launch is solid. We're all on the same page about that. And that's more of what you will hear on this podcast. So if that's helpful to think of it that way, that our tips, our recommendations, our stories, they're all little pieces of our belief system at the Launch Guild about what it means to be launching in the online space and how to do it successfully and how to do it with integrity and how to do it so that you feel ready for the next step inside of your business. So yes.
Yeah, we want you to love your launch, remember?
We do.
We do. That's what we
do. We do want you to love your lunch. Yeah. Or at least not hate it. Like, it doesn't mean it's not hard, but we want you to fall in love with the process and to really understand how to improve each time. Okay. I think we have a few don'ts left, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe we should talk about what it means to launch. That's kind of a great segue. Like, what does launching actually mean?
Kara, I feel like you were really getting on this one.
Ooh, okay.
Let's see.
Okay. So here's the thing. What does it mean to launch? I think there is a common misconception that a lot of people believe that launching is just putting something new out there and just mentioning it once or twice and saying, here, I have this new service, or here, I have this new tiny offer, or here, I have this new whatever. And hoping that people come to it, or they mention it here or there or whatever. But I think why we love like open closed carts and intentional launching is because we can really put a focus in messaging towards this offer. You know, really it's 2 weeks of content focused on this specific topic. And so I think there's a huge benefit in people doing this launch. And I think actually launching and focusing on a project can really help your audience to grow and nurture that audience, for them to be actually understand what you have to offer versus maybe being confused on what you have, what you don't have. Oh, she mentioned this once, but or missing it altogether. I think by having your audience really know who you are, what you have to offer, how you can help them, is talking about your services like regularly on a regular basis. What do you guys have to add?
Yes. Well, I think it's important for the context of this podcast. And hopefully as you hang out with us more, you'll really get a sense of what we mean when we say the word launch. But just like Kara said, people and industries outside of online business, when they say launch, they might say like, it might mean make the thing available. So now suddenly I've launched, the thing is available for sale. When we say launch, we really mean that there is an intentional promotion and focus and buzz around a thing. So as far as the structure for us in online business, it often looks like, especially the live launch, it often looks like having some pre-launch content. So talking to your audience about things related to your upcoming program, then having a dedicated promotion talking about some sort of free or paid event in which you'll deliver value, and then pitch your main product, and then you'll talk about it for about another week. So that's why Kara was about a 2-week window is what we're looking at for really intentional promotional launch structures.
If launching to you is releasing something online and then talking about it on end for 3 months, how do you collect the numbers behind that? It's so much easier to set an open and cart close date so that all of your metrics are just on those dates. And you're looking at how impactful, how like engaged or not engaged. Like, it's just so much easier to take into account all of the metrics that we talk about on this podcast when you have an open and cart close date. So that's what we mean by launching. And Yeah, just like Kara and Brianna were saying, if you release something for sale on your website, that's great. How are you getting people there? How are you consistently getting people there? So those are things to think about.
Do you know the number one indicator of a financially successful launch versus one that, well, isn't?
If you said an engaged and nurtured community, then you'd be 100% right.
The most successful launches are always ones where your audience is primed and ready for the thing you're offering. And that starts way before the sales page.
One of the best ways to start cultivating a community of raving fans and ready buyers is through your email list. I know, you've heard that before, right? But there's a reason you've heard that, because it's true. And the best way to build an email list is through an irresistible opt-in.
Need a new opt-in idea? We've got you covered. Head to thelaunchguild.com/10 and grab your list of 10 unconventional opt-in ideas.
Opt-ins don't have to be time-consuming to create or be 10,000 pages long. We're giving you a list of 10 high-converting, easy-to-implement, and unconventional opt-in ideas. Grab it now and get your opt-in out into the world in no time. Just head to thelaunchguild.com/10.
An opt-in about opt-ins. How meta.
I think we just have one more don't. And it has to do with the content itself. So I think we said earlier in this conversation that, you know, if you hold a launch, nobody buys the product, your immediate thought is almost like, oh, it's a horrible product, or like, I'm a horrible person, or it's this shame spiral of, I didn't do this right, blah, blah, blah. And usually the case is just that you probably didn't have a big enough audience. And secondly, they were not nurtured and engaged with you. So that's like the whole point of this conversation. But secondarily, you do need to be providing valuable content inside of a product. So Kara, Brianna, do you have any comments about that?
Yes. So Kara did, she did talk about this a little bit, but I think it's people forget that it's not just about selling the thing, right? Like, it's not just about having something for sale and getting people into it. What is the benefit of your program? What are the things that people are going to experience in your program? And how are you giving examples and sort of providing micro benefits in your free content before they even experience the paid benefit? So that all comes back to having quality content that gets people micro results. Like, for example, when we're here on this podcast, we hope that, you know, you take 10 seconds of something we said and implement it and see something that maybe you wouldn't have seen before, or you take something into account that you didn't before and now you feel like you understand something better. It doesn't always have to be like someone makes more money or, you know, sees this huge result from your content, but it's like, was there something small that you assisted them with that locks in the idea and proves to them, wow, this person really can help me move forward towards my goals? And then they're ready to, you know, see what's on the paid side of working with you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so let's get into the tips to have a nurtured audience. All of the do's. If you haven't been listening to any of the don'ts, please perk your ears. We're going to get into the do's.
Yeah, I feel like the do's should be a review, right? At this point, because we've said all the don'ts.
So, well, I see the do's have been hidden in there. Yeah, they're like the opposite of everything that we said, but it is important to just list them very, like, very plainly. Mm-hmm. So we like to make it a priority, a good like 3 to 6 months before your launch is when you should start gearing toward an actual launch. So when we're thinking about the emails and the social media content and all of the do's to get a nurtured audience, that's how much time it can take to get your audience primed and ready for the moment for you to have a launch window and to sell a new product or to open enrollment for a product again. So that's like kind of the timetable that we operate on. Kara, you should talk about emails for sure.
Well, I might as well just the kind of the overall. Okay. So during that time, during those 3 to 6 months, what should you be doing? How do you nurture? Emails wise, I definitely would recommend weekly emails. You should be sending an email every single week to your list. And one way you can be doing that is if you do a blog every week, or if you do, like, what other content do you put out there that's weekly, whether it's a blog or a podcast or a weekly training, you go live maybe on social media, or you do something special in your group each week. If you have a Facebook group, something like that, you can promote that in your weekly email. So it doesn't have to be brand new, completely different content. So it doesn't have to be hard. If this can all work together, your marketing system and process should all work together. So there's the emails. Can I just keep going? Because I feel like I'm on a roll.
Yeah, go for it. Do it.
I'm just going. So the emails once a week, posting on social media, a minimum of 2 to 3 times on social media. You can repurpose those posts. So if you want to do it daily, but you don't have to. Like, I really think quality is over quantity when it comes to social media posts. So we recommend at minimum 2 to 3 posts a week. Showing up consistently. Video goes a long way. So reels, lives, showing up in your stories is a huge one. That's, I think, where people sell the most, because people get to see your personality in there. So by showing up daily, or like in your stories in some little way, it doesn't have to be big, but just some little way, daily showing up in stories, consistently doing videos so people can see your personality, hear from you, learn from you. Those are some of the things that I think should be done during that 3 to 6 month timeframe to be consistently putting content out there for your audience.
Yes, especially if you have a personal brand, which many of our clients do, where the goal is to sell the product and to sell the benefits of the product, but also you are the coach, you are the course creator, you are the key person that they're going to be connecting with, or that your students or members are going to be connecting with, and they need to see you. If you're not necessarily a personal brand, then I wouldn't say that all of this applies 100%, but that weekly piece of core content that you can surround all the other things around, maybe that'll help make it feel not so overwhelming. Like, you have all of these channels, you definitely don't need to be all of the places. But let's say, for example, you pick a topic for each week that you're going to be focused on, educating your audience in that topic or serving your audience around that topic. That topic can feed whatever weekly video you do, or weekly blog post, weekly podcast, whatever you choose that to be. And then expand on that topic in your other channels so that everything feels centered around or anchored around one thing, versus you feel like you're trying to create all of this random content for all of these random places.
And we actually encourage that anchor with our clients, and really with anyone, anytime we're talking about this, because we've heard this feedback from clients who are especially in the grow phase of their business, or maybe even it's a baby business and they're just getting going, they're just getting started. They feel like they are annoying their audience when they actually do repurpose content and post the same thing, but slightly different on every single channel that they have going on. You know, you're doing it right when someone says, "I saw this on your email list. Why is this on Instagram too?" Or like, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's actually an amazing sign that you're doing it right, and that you're maximizing one piece of content to hit all of the channels that you want to focus on. So we do encourage that anchor, that little anchor, and then using it all across your channels, all across your email, your social media, your podcast, whatever you have, your blog, whatever you have going on. It not only makes it easy for you, but you might also find that members of your audience digest that information differently. Some people prefer a blog. Some people prefer a podcast. Some people prefer a tiny little graphic on Instagram that they can save and refer back to. Some people prefer a long story on an email around that topic. So just know that you're doing it right when you're hitting all of your channels on one topic, especially that 3 to 6 months leading toward your launch to begin with. And I mean, I don't remember what the statistic is, but it's like, how many times do we have to hear one thing before it finally sinks in? What is it?
It used to be 7. I mean, I think 7 is the received one, but now with digital marketing and all the things people are saying, it's like triple that, because we get so many quick hits of all of this content on a regular basis. So yeah, you gotta show up a few times. You gotta offer people the thing a few times.
And that goes for like free content too, what we're talking about. Like you want those messages and the points you're trying to make in your free content really sink in and hit home. So don't be afraid. That's just the point. Don't be afraid to use it across all of your channels. One thing.
Okay. Don't be afraid to use that free content to grow your list. Like this is prime season to start bringing people into your email list. So if you like turn something that really performed really well into a free resource, like a lead magnet, a freebie where people have to submit their email addresses, and then you get them on your email list. Your email list is really where people purchase from you the most. Those are the people that wanted to give you something for a resource. They wanted to learn from you. They want you in their inboxes and they want to hear from you. They want to hear what you're up to. So you want to get as many people on your email list as possible, especially in those months leading up to a launch.
Mm-hmm. Email list is so important. And I know some of you out there are going to be listening and thinking like, email is dead. People don't buy from my email list.
Lies. Please
just take our word for it.
It's true that people do buy on social media. That's what those people are saying. They're like, oh, email list is dead. Social media is the new way, or insert X thing is the new way. And yes, you can sell on social media, but like you need an email list. You need people who have literally signed up to say, I want to hear from you in depth. I want to hear from you on a regular basis. I know what this exchange of value is going to look like. I know what to expect. You can't do this without that. So maybe we could get into that, like a little bit deeper into that on a future episode. I know we say over and over again that an email list is so important and so valuable. And that is obvious to us at the Launch Guild, but maybe we could spend a little bit more time like really talking about why. So stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll probably always come back to it. But I mean, my thing is, if you feel like you have a lot of emails in your inbox, I mean, if you notice the amount of these giant companies that are sending emails on a very regular basis, if not every day, just investing ton of email, if that's not enough proof that email is a incredible sales and customer generator, then I don't know what is, but it works. I promise. It does.
I mean, I just clicked on a promotional email last night. It works, y'all. Like it does actually work. It's like, oh, this is on sale. Great. Let me buy it. It's so easy.
Yes.
Awesome. So another tip to have a nurtured audience, one of the do's. So this is where hinging your email list and your social media together so that they work in conjunction with one another is really important that time leading up to your launch. Spend some time talking to people in the DMs, like asking them, hey, how are you? Like I introduce yourself, understand where they're at on their journey so that you're getting more of that feedback. It's a little bit of market research, but really it's not, because it should just be a conversation. Like people want to talk to you, talk to them, like just have a conversation.
So good. I mean, all of this, right? Everything we do is to have connection with other humans and to, you know, help other people and work with other people. So that's such an important thing to remember, because for a lot of things, people are thinking automate, 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 get as much stuff out there without me actually talking to the people directly. But there's always that space and that time for you to be in the comments, for you to be in your DMs, really connecting with the humans that who are on the other side of the screen. That's so key to really help you stay grounded with your audience and stay grounded with what they need and what they're asking for.
And it lets them know that you actually care, that you're not just like throwing content at them, but you actually want to have a conversation with them to find out where they need the most support, where they need the most help, that they're not just a number. We've talked about that before, and just the amount of followers you have, but like that you actually genuinely want to help them. And those conversations go such a long way, such a long way.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
They're like, well, how do I start a conversation? How do I... how do I like intentionally talk to somebody about where they're at on their journey? And I think the answer to that is you don't ask them where they're at on their journey. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you. You just have to be open and willing to receive that information in a less direct way. It sort of comes about and just don't overthink it. The conversation should be organic and it should be more just personal. It can be personal. You are connecting with people. So let them say what they want to say. I don't know if other people use this as like, I don't know if other people do this. But if you are understanding who in your audience is a great fit for your services, or you know that they are, that you can help them, that you can assist them with something, following them back on Instagram, for example, and like really paying attention to what it is that they are posting, reacting on their stories, like commenting on their posts, and just making it clear that you are showing up for them, because there will come a time when you are ready to launch. You're doing all of the nurturing, all of the engaging leading up to a launch window. And there will come a time when now they are ready to receive that back from you as well. So think about ways to show up for your audience in figuring out where they're at on their journey, but don't make it forced. Like it should just be organic and like, hey, how's it going? You know, don't overthink it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Start with stories. Like people just post little things. Like, it's, for example, somebody posts a picture of their child or a video of their child doing something really silly or cute, or start the conversation by just being like, oh my gosh, that is so funny, and relate to it. Just be relatable. Exactly what Jayla Ray said. Do not overthink it.
Yeah. And one of our last tips, and another way to kind of build this into your business practice, is thinking about calls to action in a lot of different ways. We know that calls to action usually look like buy my thing or check out my free thing. And those are really great calls to action. They have their place. But another one can be when you're sharing a story in a post, you can say, have you ever dealt with this? Like reply and let me know. Those kinds of things are asking questions on your stories. Like, have you ever experience this, blah, 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 talking about your own experiences, opening up to people, and then giving them space to share their story with you, just building connection points. It's like building a relationship. How would you, you know, talk with a human? How would you share your story with another human at a dinner? And how can you take a micro piece of that and place it into your content and, you know, infuse your content with human connection points? The more you can do that, the more that can kind of become intrinsic to your marketing, the more you'll grow more quickly and more genuinely, because people realize, oh, like this person is actually sharing. They're not just all about selling the thing. They're not just all about marketing thing. Like they are a fully fledged human who's sharing themselves with me, and I want to learn more from them.
It's so true. Oh, all right. Well, I think we're good to kind of like wrap up, maybe give a little summary of what we talked about today. So in this conversation, we were talking about the number one thing you need for a successful launch. And that is, of course, a nurtured, engaged audience. We kind of went over what nobody is telling you when you start an online business. We talked about metrics, and we talked about some do's and don'ts when it comes to building that nurtured and engaged audience. And I think we're good to wrap up. So we'll see you next time on the Love Your Launch podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, let us know over on the socials and what tip you really walked away from, what piece of information was most valuable to you in this conversation. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. Let's continue the conversation over on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at The Launch Guild.
And if you liked this episode, be sure to subscribe, share it with friends, and leave us a review. We'd greatly appreciate it.
Last but not least, don't forget to grab your free download of 10 unconventional opt-in ideas so you can start growing your email list. You can find that at thelaunchguild.com/10.
Until next time.